This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. My brothers and sisters, it is the purpose of Jum'ah to speak about things which are of critical importance and which are current, and to try to understand them and to try to suggest solutions for problems which affect everybody, not only Muslims. I have been numb and silent. Not like me, but I guess I am also human. And sometimes the pain is too much. 19 children dead and 2 teachers, 21 people dead. Why? What was their crime? What did they do to deserve to die? Should I be thankful? Should you be thankful that none of those who died in Buffalo and Uvalde, or in the many instances of mass shootings that happen as regularly as rainfall in America, didn't have the name of one of my loved ones in the casualty list? Should I be thankful for this? Or should I see every single one who died as my loved one? I choose the second option. I believe that is the root of this whole matter. We see people as us and them. That is the root of the whole matter. The Quran is clear as daylight in this. Absolutely clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very, very clearly in Surah Al-Ma'idah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا ومن أحياها فكأنما أحيا الناس جميعا ولقد جاءتهم رسلنا بالبينات ثم إن كثيرا منهم بعد ذلك في الأرض لمسرفون. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, which means, because of that we ordained, and this refers to something else that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah to Bani Israel before this ayah. Because of that we ordained for the children of Israel. The ayah is referring to the Jews, it is referring to the children of Israel. What we know as far as the Quran is concerned, the ayah refers to all of humanity. And the children of Israel in this ayah, the Bani Israel, were the Muslims of the time. So this ayah refers to us as Muslims. That if anyone killed a person, not in retaliation for murder. If anyone killed a person, not in retaliation for murder, and to prevent them from spreading mischief in the land, or as punishment for spreading mischief in the land, it would be as if he killed all of mankind. If a person killed one innocent person, it would be as if he killed all of mankind. And if anyone saved a life, it would be as if he saved the life of all of mankind. The word retaliation here refers to the judge sentencing a murderer to death after due process of law and is not licensed for vigilante action. Killing one innocent person, no matter his or her faith or race or ethnicity or gender or color or anything else, is equal in Islam to wiping out of all of mankind. And saving one life is equal to saving the lives of all of mankind. What can be clearer than this? It doesn't matter if the one killed or saved was a Muslim or anything else. The Quran says person, that is human life. That is the most important and the first principle is in Islamic jurisprudence, which takes precedence over everything else. That is what makes what is normally haram, which is prohibited, halal, which is permissible, if it is necessary to save human life. There is no right in Islam which supersedes this right to life for everyone, which is the duty of everyone else to guarantee directly or indirectly. It was on the basis of this that at the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2019, Muslim scholars and jurists across the world advised the shutting of mosques and directed Muslims to pray the Jummah Friday congregational prayer in their homes. They did this even though the congregational prayer on Friday is mandated in the Quran and is compulsory and obligatory. They did it based on the potential danger to human life being the primary consideration. They did it because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself advised us, and he said in the hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the plague, which is the contagion, which is the pandemic, which is the epidemic, the plague patient, or meaning somebody who has it or also somebody who doesn't have it, who remains in his home with patience and expectation of reward, knowing that nothing will befall him other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decree, will attain the reward of a martyr. There are many other hadiths referring to this, which all point to the importance of quarantining yourself and protecting others by remaining isolated yourself. My question to Americans is, how many more must die before we understand that sanctity of human life must take precedence over everything else in a civilized society? Does the body count justify our obsession with guns? I believe it is not guns, but something deeper and more malignant. Because guns don't kill people, people kill people. The problem is that we have created a society that is based on the worship of the self. Our supreme law is, I like it, so it's good. No matter what it is, as long as I like it, it is good. What that thing means to others, how it may affect them, whether others like what I do or not, is not something that I am prepared to consider. I don't care. In our society, sale and consumption of alcohol, for example, is legal. Although, according to WHO, the World Health Organization, in the period since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic globally to today, and these are figures corrected to April 22nd, 2022, 6 million people died from COVID-19, while 7 million died due to consumption of alcohol. 6 million because of COVID-19 and 7 million because of consumption of alcohol, including, of course, car crashes and so on. And we are not counting the number of people maimed and the number of people who were disabled and so on, just because somebody else had a good time at a party. We worship ourselves to the extent that nobody is allowed to tell us what to do, and that includes God. We have raised desire to the level of a deity that we worship. We tolerate violations of the law if our friends do them, and we scream blue murder when someone else does the same thing. In any language, that's called hypocrisy. In our language, it is called virtue. We have childish notions that criminals are victims of their upbringing and childhood conditioning and whatnot, especially if those criminals belong to a favored group. They must not be blamed. Blame their childhood, blame their parents, blame their circumstances, blame God, blame anyone but them. They must be handled gently. I ask you, what about this poor child who decided to murder? What about those poor people who got murdered because of this poor child and all his conditioning and whatnot, whatnot? What was their fault? While the parents of dead children, the husbands, wives, children and parents of innocent victims of Buffalo and Uvalde and countless other places are trying to grapple with their demolished world, we stand around and we send our thoughts and prayers to them. 2 minutes silence, please. We are sending our thoughts and prayers to them. How? Send thoughts and prayers? How? FedEx? USPS? What is the meaning of sending thoughts and prayers? If you can send them to the lawmakers. Send them to those who are in the in these pictures, which are with various articles, holding up signs, supporting unfettered gun ownership, where an adolescent who is not considered old enough to buy beer is sold a long rifle without a thought. Send those thoughts to them if you think that they do any good. Seriously, people, the solution to mass shootings is not more guns. It is not having armed security guards. It's not teachers toting guns. It's not single entry and exit doors. What next? Children with guns in their backpacks? It's time to wake up. It is time to wake up. This is not about mental health. America is not an outlier in mental illness. It's an outlier in permitting adolescents to buy and carry deadly weapons without restrictions. It's an outlier in the way it shows how much respect it has for the lives of its own children. No other country, except Brazil, comes close. Let me just ask, how are all the countries in Europe and Asia and the Middle East and Africa and other parts of continental America, how is it they have schools which do not have bulletproof windows and Rambo at the door? What is it that they are doing right? And what are we doing wrong? It's not a mystery, if only we open our eyes. I'm putting here a link to an article which talks about gun laws in America. And it's from Giffords Law Center to Prevent Violence. I quote from this article. In most states, people can legally buy assault-style weapons before they can drink a beer. Federal law stipulates that gun stores and other licensed dealers may not sell a handgun to anyone under the age of 21, but they can sell long guns, that is rifles and shotguns, to anyone who is at least 18. In our society, it is natural for children to grow up with one parent, no parent, cognitively or emotionally impaired parents, or absent parents. It is common for a child to step off the school bus, let himself into his home, feed and entertain himself until his parent or parents show up. We call them latchkey kids. Is that child happy about this situation? We don't know and we don't care until in his adolescence he walks into a gun store, buys an automatic or a semi-automatic weapon, more ammo than a soldier carries in battle, and blows out the lives of dozens of children like himself. That is exactly what happened in Uvalde. But in our society, it is not nice to criticize this kind of parenting. Our children go to schools where discipline is a bad word, which is supposed to negatively impact the self-esteem of children. What is self-esteem? Except in most cases an inflated sense of self-importance, an inflated ego. What is the position of humility in our society and culture? Another bad word, another relic of our past. Of course, we won't mention that in that past, which we want to forget, there were no mass shootings. We are compelled to accept behavior in schools which we know is disruptive, if not outright destructive to learning. But we dare not speak out against it. We have created a fantasy world in which we seem to believe that there is no cost to bad behavior. Most kids today spend most of their free time in the virtual world and have issues adapting to society and the real world. They are unable to accept rejection, failure, or criticism, and often react violently. Guess what? Life has rejection. Life has failure. Life has criticism. And success in life means to be able to deal with those in a positive way. But we never teach it, and our children never learn it. Poor parenting or no parenting and the lack of correcting bad habits at home and school has raised a whole generation of egoistic, self-centered kids who feel the world revolves around them. We have forgotten that the world runs by laws created by its creator. Some we call the laws of physics. Others are laws of behavior, which are equally implacable and impartial. All laws have consequences. Ignoring the law merely means that you will not be prepared to protect yourself from its consequences. This is something that we must do as a society. Live by the principles that discipline is good. Self-esteem is the result of effort, not the natural consequence of being alive. We must support each other by helping one another to overcome weaknesses and problems, not by pretending that they don't exist, much less by normalizing them. We must punish violations because we respect those who obey the law and are entitled to its protection, more than those who break the law and claim immunity from its consequences. We must throw away the feel-good theories. This includes doing away with extravagant praise for ordinary good behavior or good effort. Saying, "Wow, Jason, that is awesome," is not awesome. If ordinary work is labeled as awesome, what's the motivation to do more or better? Yes, discipline sucks. Suck it up. You want to know if you will succeed in life or not? See if you make your bed when you wake up in the morning. That is a better indicator of your potential to succeed in life than any psychometric test that gives you results that look good on paper. It may hurt to tell your family and friends the truth about their behavior and let them pay the price, but it will hurt a lot more, and a lot more people will be hurt if they never learn. As I speak, I am reminded of what a psychiatrist friend told me. He said to me, "I have in my waiting room people who are highly suicidal, addicted to substance abuse. They openly talk about wanting to kill others. They are pathologically depressed." Now tell me something. If you were speaking to a psychiatrist and he said this to you, would you be surprised? Neither was I, until he told me that those people are 7 and 8 year old children. This is the result of our parenting. This is the society that we have created and which we continue to support and remain silent about in the name of freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom for whom? Freedom to do what? It seems so futile to try and convince people about something which is so self-evident and obvious. We have a major parenting problem. People, understand this, please. We have a major parenting problem. Children need attention, they need love, they need caring, they need discipline, they need values, they need morals, they need boundaries. Children need parents who can be role models for them, for all of these things. Children need parents they can look up to, not look down on. Is that happening? How can we make it happen? Think about that. How can we make it happen? I speak about this with hope, because to despair is haram in Islam. It is prohibited. Despair is kufr. Despair is denying the mercy of Allah. I'm quoting again from data statistics, which I will put in the description of this video. There were 693 mass shootings. Think about this. In the year 2021, which is last year, mass shootings are described as where more than four people or more died. It's called a mass shooting. In the United States of America, in the year 2021, there were 693 mass shootings. And guess what? I checked. The number of days in 2021 was still 365. Do the math. 693 shootings, mass shootings, in 365 days. And we are not counting anything in which less than four people died. There were those also. In 2021, last year, 21,000 people died in the United States because of gun violence. Does this body count justify whatever so-called right we think we are upholding? The signs that people are holding up, which I've seen, I don't want to be a victim, I need my guns to protect myself and so on, are ludicrous to say the least. Victims? Who is the real victim? The one, the child who died, or the one who shot that child? Who is the real victim? In a society where our taxes pay for law enforcement, why must we carry guns to defend ourselves? I'm not against gun ownership, believe me. Just as I'm not against car ownership. I am against the unfettered ownership of something that has the potential to destroy the lives of others in the hands of someone who's not capable of handling it. If a mature, mentally stable person without a criminal record, trained to handle a weapon, wants to own a gun for hunting or for a small arm for personal safety because of the special circumstances that he or she may be living in, by all means, let them do so. But what is the justification for an automatic military-style assault rifle being sold to someone who's mentally unstable or sick, has a criminal record, and is highly likely to use that weapon to kill others only because we will not accept background or medical checks? Seriously, I wonder if any of those people holding up those signs also held the body of their little child, dead from a bullet in the heart, shot by someone like themselves, who believed in the unfettered right to bear arms. What more can I say? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the children in this country in America. I ask Allah to protect the children everywhere in the world. I ask Allah to protect the innocent people. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the sense to understand what is good for us and what is not good for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the sense to get out and over politics in this matter. My brothers and sisters, my friends and listeners, this is not about politics. This is about life. It's about human life. It's about your life and my life. It is about the lives of your children and my children. If we don't take notice of this, if we do not do this, then be prepared one day to hold the body of your own child in your hand, shot by somebody because you did not take action to stop the unfettered ownership and use of weapons of destruction. Ask Allah to give us the sense to understand this and the courage to stand up for the truth, and the ability to do it and bring about changes for which we will be happy and for which the world will be happy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin.